This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
101.9 High FM, I'm Benji Shulman. Now, just about 100 years ago, over 100, 101 in fact, at the tail end of the First World War, an important battle was fought called the Battle of Megiddo. And this was a crucial battle in the First World War because it was between Allenby's army of the British and the Ottoman Empire in what was then the Ottoman province of Palestine. And the victory of Allenby in that particular battle was not only important for the British push towards Damascus and the opening up of the Middle East to the Allies, it was also crucial because it gave the British the confidence to issue something called the Balfour Declaration, which would obviously go on to be the basis of the international law argument for the creation of the State of Israel. Now, this history is fairly well known. What isn't fairly well known is the contribution to this particular victory of a group of South Africans, and not just any South Africans, a very crucial and special group of South Africans from a unit called the Cape Coloured Corps, the remains of whom died in the battle are still buried in Jerusalem. And yet, despite this contribution, they actually have not had any recognition for the role that they have played. And I'm happy to say that there is starting to be a lot more work and a lot more investigation of their contribution, and even some work to commemorate it. And so I'm very happy to have in the studio to discuss this issue a little bit more retired Navy Commander Adil Karelse, who's written a book on the Cape Coloured Corps and who's also working on a commemoration of their role and contribution. Adil, thank you so much for being in studio with us on 101.9 High FM.
Thanks, Benji. Glad to be here.
So, for a start, to give people a perspective on this, can you tell me what was the Cape Coloured Corps, why were they formed, and what's your connection?
Okay, my connection is that my great-grandfather is one of those nine members that was decorated for valour at the Battle of Squeal.
Which was connected to the Battle of Megiddo. It was a key part.
Correct. The overall battle was the Battle of Megiddo that took place in various sections, Way Hill, Square Hill, Dib, Endil, Crescent, and eventually Square Hill and then Kijibait. With regards to the unit itself, initially the then government of the Union of South Africa was reluctant to put together a combat unit for people of color. But that was rescinded, you know, with losses on the Western Front and so forth and so forth, and what happened at the Battle of Delwood. So there was a need for more men, especially combat soldiers, and then the decision was made to put together this unit. It was a multicultural, multi-religious unit consisting of all hues that represents the people of this country. Most of the guys obviously were from the Cape area, but people from as far afield as Johannesburg, Port Elizabeth, Kimberley and so forth also attestated in the battalion.
Now, I'm just trying to get my head around the parlance of the time. So when they talked about the Cape Coloured Corps, is it coloured in the way that we think about it now, or did it just refer to everyone who wasn't white?
I'm not 100% sure of what that entailed at the time, but what we do know is that they took all comers. All the officers were white in the NCOs initially. But the men were all colored people, Muslims, Christians, and as our research found out, Jewish members as well. And that's just the way the battalion was put together.
And I want to ask about your family member in a minute and the decoration, but you've just touched on a fascinating aspect. What was a Jew doing in the Cape Coloured Corps?
You're going to have to ask Peter Bailey that.
We're going to bring Peter on in a minute, just so for listeners are aware. But yeah, okay.
We were talking one day, and I said to him, you know what, there's an element of research that's outstanding that we haven't done. And I said to him, you know, Cape Town has always been a cosmopolitan city. And, you know, it the level of interracial marriages, interreligious marriages has been very high since time immemorial. So I said to him, you know what, we need to do some further research. The chances that we could have Jewish people that enlisted in the Cape Corps is quite high based on that historical fact. His initial answer to me was no. You're clutching at straws. But somewhere I planted a seed in his mind, and he started doing research up in Israel. And one day he called me and he said to me, "You're not going to believe this. We found one." I said, "Okay." Obviously, it was Joe Sieradzki, and then he gave me the task of doing further research, which I have done. And I'm happy to be able to share with you that he's one that we know of. What we didn't research, and this is something that we need to do, there were a lot of cases where you would have a white father and a colored or Malay mother, and vice versa, where the children were being brought up in one of the two ethics. We haven't researched that, and I've gone to something like about 5,000 attestation cards, and but I didn't check for that. It was just only afterwards, so I've got to redo this whole exercise again.
Very, very interesting. Well, let's bring on the line there, Peter Bailey. He is an ex-member of the South African Ex-Service League. He lives in Israel today, and he's part of Telfed, and is driving the effort to have the men who were part of this battle commemorated. Peter, thank you so much, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Benji. Good morning. Thank you very much.
So, tell me from your side, you working on the commemoration of these soldiers, what is the work entailed, and why do you have this interest?
Well, I always had an interest in the matters concerning the South African Jewish contribution to our military history. And that extended itself, once I made Aliyah, to become interested in the Jewish contribution to Israel, and particularly from a military perspective. And that's how I came across the One Cape Corps and their participation in the Battle of Megiddo.
And what are the plans? What are you looking at to commemorate their contribution?
Working together with Dave Kaplan, who was a former chairman of Telfed, and is now the chairman of the Ochberg Committee, the Ochberg Heritage Committee. And there's a strong connection between Isaac Ochberg, who brought a number of orphans to South Africa, almost 200 orphans to South Africa after the pogroms in Ukraine in 1921, and was also a benefactor to the colored community. So we're working with the Megiddo Regional Council, who have the Ochberg Memorial Park within their territory. And our idea is to put up a memorial to the men of One Cape Corps who fell in the defense of the British interest in Palestine in those days, to remember them properly in a place where there is a connection to South Africa and a connection to Cape Town, in particular through Isaac Ochberg. The Megiddo Regional Council are fully on board. We're working with a lady by the name of Ruth Wasserman Landy, who was Ruth Wasserman. She went to Herzliya School in Cape Town. So she has a pretty good knowledge of the whole situation, and we hope to get this going within the next year or so. The centenary of the Ochberg rescue will be in 2021, 2022, and we want to try and get it all happening at the same time.
Absolutely fascinating stuff. We'll be talking more about this particular commemoration after the break.
This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
Back with 101.9 Chai FM. In studio, we have retired Navy Commander Adil Karosa, and connected to us in Israel, Peter Bailey, who is a member of Telfed and a former head former member of the South African Jewish Ex-Servicemen's League. Now, Adil, I wanted to ask you, you have this family connection to the Corps, and you actually wrote a book about it. Why did you decide to write a book, and how do people in Cape Town actually feel about this contribution to history?
Benji, it is very difficult to say, because history has not been very kind to the contribution made by one SACC during World War One. So a lot of the information has been sort of allowed to rot somewhere in the corner, and we're gradually bringing it to life now, because the thing with old soldiers, they cannot speak on their behalf, and we as the living, we have to speak on their behalf. So that's one of the things that motivated me. But in general, the book has been received very well, in my circles and so forth. And we're in the process of obviously getting it out to the greater public. But we actually need the government to come on board, because history has to be told the way it is, and you can't willy-nilly go and change things. At the end of the day, these guys, at the time, there was a need to step up to the plate, and they did this. And they did it with great aplomb, because they were involved in two major battles, the Battle of the Refugee Delta in German East Africa, and after that, of course, sent over to the Middle Eastern theater of war, where they took part in all the battles. Okay. Leading up to, of course, the final battle.
Well, what I find interesting when we were speaking before the interview is you said that you actually managed to find other people who were connected to this battle, descendants far down the line, who you said actually didn't have any clue that their ancestors were involved at all.
That is correct. I met a lady from Worcester who was a direct descendant of Sergeant February, Sergeant February, Sergeant Ross, and Sergeant Janssen. They were the three first sergeants who took over as company commanders when all the officers were killed on the attack on Kiji Bait. Now, this is normally unusual in any battle that you find a situation where all your officers are killed. But this is what happened. It's clear that the Turks in particular targeted them. So they had no option because of the exigencies of war, but to take over as company commanders. And I met this lady who was a direct descendant of Sergeant February, and I started talking to her about this, and she was flabbergasted. Just the idea that she was connected to a person that was decorated for valor in such an important battle, because exactly as you said, the defeat of the Turks directly led to the Balfour Declaration, which in turn led to the creation of the State of Israel. So it was a lot more important than just a battle that had to be won. You know, it was more or less to give vent to the aspirations of a people to find a home for themselves later on. Mm. And we, as a family, were very proud of that, that we in no small manner could be a part of that. And most of the people that I had spoken to, they have exactly the same feelings towards this.
Peter, you've actually gone to see the graves. Do we know how many people, South Africans, are actually buried in Jerusalem as a result of this battle?
Benji, if I gave you a number, I'd actually be telling a lie. I think it's 74 members of One Cape Corps that died during the battle. Adil would probably have the exact figure. I haven't got it at the top of my mind right now. But yes, they are buried in Jerusalem, and the Commonwealth War Graves Commission actually takes care of all these graves, and there are various denominations. There's a Muslim section, there's a Christian section, there's even a Jewish section, although I'm unable to establish exactly who is what in the Jewish section, but I hope to pay another visit there in the near future and to get more clarity on this.
And where in Jerusalem are they buried? Is it is there like a war section, or what kind of cemetery?
Yes, there's actually a First World War, Commonwealth First World War grave cemetery, because there are a lot of Australians, New Zealanders, Indians who also died during the battle. There were Indian troops, Gurkhas mainly, Australians and New Zealanders that participated in all these battles, as well, of course, as the famous Jewish Brigade. Although it was the Jewish Legion in those days, they also fought and took part in those battles under the command of Jabotinsky. He was a lieutenant in this brigade, in this battalion, and they fought together with One Cape Corps to eradicate this area of the Ottoman influence.
Wow, that's incredible connection, Jabotinsky and the One Cape Corps. Another connection, Adil, which I found really interesting, you said that people actually live with this history every day where you're from and don't know it, because there's actually a square hill, is it a school or a suburb or something, in Cape Town, and no one really knows why it's called that.
Benji, I stand ashamed in front of you. I grew up in a residential area called Square Hill. We lived in Crestway, and Dib was just behind us. Allenby Drive is like the main link between, and I had no clue whatsoever what this meant. It's only after I started conducting the research when all these things started to come together. So my apologies to the esteemed members of One Cape Corps, but like I say,
Benji, sorry, if I could just intercede.
Yeah.
Dave Kaplan, on a visit to Cape Town, found out about the Square Hill School, and he actually visited the school, and the school itself had no idea of where the name Square Hill School came from.
Good morning. I'm sorry that I lost my manners there for a minute. Okay, it's okay. I'll get you coffee when you see each other again. My two nephews actually went to Square Hill Primary School. It's situated right behind us, the next road where our ancestral home is. And it's like, really, it's unbelievable. There's a high school there called Crestway High School. And the principal there as well, this high school, I asked him, do you know where the name comes from? No idea.
It's amazing that you have the opportunity to revive that kind of history. It's absolutely incredible. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back just after this.
IFM 101.9 megahertz of life. This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
101.9 Chai FM. I'm Benji Shulman, talking today to Adil Karlser, a retired Navy commander in the South African Navy, as well as Peter Bailey, who is joining us all the way from Israel, who is on Tel Fed. Adil, you've written this book that kind of, it's a fictional history, historical fiction about it. What was it like writing a book? How can people get hold of it if they want to read it?
Yeah, I wrote the book in such a way to bring the characters to life that actually fought in the battle. Because, we know for a fact people don't read history. Mm-hmm. That is a fact. But if you can somehow bring those characters to life and you can give them essence, people are more affable to read them. They can get hold of the book. They can email me, and then I'll make a plan to see how to get the book to the people that are interested.
What's your email address?
It's adil@gfharrison.com.
There we go. So if you want to get a hold of the book, you can certainly do it that way. Peter, you're talking to the council. This is something that you want to build. Can people help? What support is needed to make something like this happen? And is there a chance of maybe doing something in South Africa as well?
Most definitely, Benji. First of all, from our perspective, yeah, what I would like to do is to bring 10 or 12 descendants of some of those who fell in the Battle of Megiddo to Israel when we unveil the memorial which will be built. This I'm absolutely adamant about. It's going to require funds. It's going to require money. Yes, we're going to need assistance. To bring 10 or 12 descendants to Israel is going to cost money. And if we can get assistance from the community in South Africa to help bring these people to Israel, I think we'll be doing a wonderful service both to them, to South Africa, and to Israel, and to South Africa-Israel relations, which are not of the best at the moment. But I do believe they can be improved, and an enterprise like this can actually go a long way to improving them, especially after what we've seen with the World Cup, how everybody got together. We can bring people together again for something like this. And I would also like to do a launch of Adil's book in Israel to make the people in Israel aware of it to a far greater degree.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would be a crucial and important part of any commemoration. Adil, as a soldier, how does it make you feel that you're not fighting the war on the battlefield anymore, that now you've become a sort of warrior of history? What does that mean?
It's a skill which I didn't know I had. This is my third book that I've written, and I'm just happy to be able to contribute towards history.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Best of luck with your efforts, and I'm sure that more interesting stories and connections that we don't know about will continue to come in as this project progresses. So thank you so much for all your work.
My pleasure, sir.
And to you, Peter, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Benji, and thank you, Adil. Lovely speaking to both of you.
There we go. That Peter and Adil there talking to us about the number one Cape Coloured Corps brings us to the end of the show for today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Mandy for doing the production, Vuzi who does the sound, and Craig who pushes all the big red buttons. Thank you to you, dear listeners, as well for joining us. And we will see you next week on the New Blue Review.